7 a.m., where is everybody? W8RCY, here for the roll call.
No one out here but us chickens.
I'm here, just late.
Anthony may not be here because it's Wednesday and it's probably the Prince Spaghetti Day, so, you know, it's like Anthony's not coming.
Oh, so anyhow, I'm just battling with traffic here. Some guy just blew by me on DeQuinter Road here. And then there was back-to-back lights where one went red. I went through it. It was very orange. And then the light right after it. I mean, there was like two lights almost back to back. And that one with green right after I snuck through. So good thing I snuck through that one. But anyhow, I was dealing with all that. I got to find some coffee this morning. And get to work. I don't know what else is really on the agenda. I'll think of it. Dakota?
I notice traffic at this time is substantially heavier than when I'm usually commuting. And I'm just on the slow boat today. I ain't got about till 6:30. And just not feeling work this week. Ready for the weekend. Donald? Are you out and about? Is that what I heard?
No. I don't remember what out and about was about. But it was just me and Anthony yesterday. And go back to Dakota for a second. What time did you go in? Because I was on the radio at like 6 o'clock and there was nothing. And, you know, you must have really went in early yesterday. And then we'll bounce it back to Sean after Dakota.
I meant out and about, as in I thought you said you were mobile this morning, but maybe I misinterpreted you saying roll call or something. I don't know. I'm still half asleep. I was not on the air yesterday morning. I was on the phone on my way in, so that is why I did not get to talk to you gentlemen. Sean?
Roger. And I didn't go in until late yesterday. I had a meeting right down by my house, so I just chose to work from home for a little bit and then went straight to my meeting. And then I went home after that and took a few hours off. So I never ventured far from the house. Did get to go to my favorite Mediterranean place, the Kebab House. Outstanding. Used to go there a lot when I used to work at the location I was at yesterday. So we took advantage and went there for lunch yesterday. Just as good as I remember.
I miss the Hellas, the new Hellas restaurant down in Greektown. You know, the place to go to after the bars closed in downtown. It's gone now because of the casino and all that complex that was built. But yeah, many a time, get out of the bars at 2 in the morning, head down there, and, you know, just the aroma of all the smells and all the aromas, all good, but, you know, it's just those days I miss a lot, for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I can take a few hours this week. Today's my daughter's birthday, so maybe I'll just dip out early today. So what's this I hear? Jack passed his test?
Oh, so you haven't heard. Yes, he did. Night before last. He, I think, Lance Cruz went out there and knocked it out. So very good. And, yeah, I knew how I remember that place, that whole strip there. It was unfortunate. It used to be nice to be able to go down there and enjoy that old world charm of that whole strip. Now it's all the casino, sporting, you know, which better for the city, I guess, financially, but you miss kind of the whole point of running down to some of them old places that have been around for, you know, 100 years. But yeah, Jack is one of us now. He's probably looking at, I don't know how long it's taken to get the calls now, but he's counting the days now, waiting for his call. Don? Well, for a few hours, either today or Thursday, the FCC's site's going to be down for about a half a day for maintenance. I saw that on a flag of theirs, a little flag that the FCC is going to be doing some maintenance work, so he might lose a half a day, or he might have to wait an extra half a day. But when I took my test back in August, I took it on a Monday night, and it showed up, I think I paid the fee on Thursday morning, and then Saturday morning at breakfast when I got up to meet you guys for breakfast, I checked my email, and boom, there it was.
Site maintenance day. Maybe they'll bring it out of the 1980s, 1990s, and make it work better. So Jack is a ham. That'll be interesting. I'm curious to see how he does on the repeaters over here.
Are you?
There's Anthony. Yep, he's got a little adjusting to do, but he'll be fine. And boy, that's quick. Tell you what. And yes, the FCC site is just a bane. I don't know if it's the bane of my existence, but it is absolutely mind-numbingly bad. And I have to do it all the time. I have hundreds and hundreds of licenses I got to keep on top of and stuff. So it's just, oh my God, it's just a nightmare. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
I am good. Already 58 degrees. Can't complain about that. Yeah, the FCC site is a bear to deal with. But Donald and I missed you guys yesterday. Would you sleep in or what? I think I heard Donald go over to him.
Well, neither one of them brought a no from anything, but, we'll let it slide. It's no big deal. And for you, Anthony, today's Sprint Spaghetti Day, and, you know, you're the last one to the party, so you better have brought spaghetti for everybody, or else, it'll be your turn in the doghouse, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, now I've lost track. Who's up to bat? I think it's Dakota.
Some spaghetti. Let's put it this way. The last time I went into the FCC website, it took me a week of different times trying to update my address. So it would update on QRZ. So I hope they fix it, but I highly doubt it because it's a government website. Well, cool. I'm happy for Jack. I know he's been really trying. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, it's my problem with the website is, you know, you click on something and you wait, you know, and then it propagates, you know, and then you wait. And it's just like, it's just so painful. I've got to go, you know, I got so many things I got to do. I got to snap, 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 quick, check these boxes, you know, submit, all this stuff, and everything is just so painfully slow. And then sometimes it just hangs up in the middle, and then next thing you know, you're bounced back out, you got to re-log in. And say, why did that happen? You know, it's like, and then sometimes you just can't get it at all, like you were saying. I don't get that too much, but it's just absolutely frustrating when you got to use it as often as I do. Well. So yeah, Anthony, I was a late tardy guy yesterday. My day didn't start till like 9, so. You guys were all long at work by the time I hit the road, and I didn't have far to go yesterday morning, pretty much in the car, and then I was at my destination within a couple of miles, so was much later and much shorter of a ride.
Very cool. If I gotta give you guys a hard time, we kept leaving room for you, and nobody ever showed up. We were lonely without you guys. But man, are they gonna shut the lights off on GMRS if Jack's coming over to the other side? Who's gonna be over there? He was the king.
Well, when Jack would come over to the Troy side, you're there. I would just say, get off my lawn, Jack.
At 8 DBF. Yeah, I'm going to be monitoring a lot now. I don't know if this interests Donald or Sean at all, but Anthony, I saw a video of some guys were doing ISS APRS. Have you, when it gets to you, have you thought about doing that, tried that? Kind of piqued my interest.
Well, I don't know what that is. I know what APRS is, and I know what ISS is, so it's, how exactly, I mean, I'm guessing they have an APRS station up there you try to bounce off of or something. I don't know. You'll have to explain what that's all about. Not all that familiar with either one. Just know what each term means. But, Anthony?
I am guessing, Sean, you put those two things together, and you are correct. No, Dakota, I have not. I think I read an article the other day that they are going to sunset the APRS and 2-meter repeater on the ISS, so that'll be interesting to see. But, no, I have never tried it. I would be very interested to see if you have success. I'd love to try something like that. That's pretty cool. Over to you, Donald.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to it when, you know, Captain Don or somebody's out there talking to the space station stuff. But getting back to Jack, Jack's already talking about wanting to take the general. He's looking to schedule a general for next week. And I remember Sean and I were talking yesterday. I was over Sean face up there. It's like, no, just take a week off, relax, you know, enjoy it, savor the moment. Don't be in such a hurry to, you know, get all the way up to, you know, this, you know, epitome level that you need, you know. You got to learn a lot of stuff, Jack. And, you know, I mean, Jack comes back with his laughter response, you know. But, you know, it's like, no, we're serious. And, it'll be interesting to see how the other side accepts him, so to speak, or this side accepts him. I guess it's the patience level. I don't know. Sean, maybe? I think that's where we're at.
Dakota, I think.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, HF, I mean, general, you enter that territory, that's where you can actually start causing damage to equipment if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, it's not to say you can't do that on a mobile radio or an HT, but way easier to do on an HF rig. But yeah, Anthony, Sean, same thing, right? It's just a digipeater on the ISS is what it seems like. I saw a video this morning. A guy had a Kenwood 75 and a Yagi, like the one I've got. But if they're sunsetting that, it sounds like I need to list my arrow antenna on the interwebs and get rid of it, because now I'm going to have literally no use for it. I haven't used it since I got it back from you, Anthony, but I don't want to be sitting on a $220 antenna if there's no repeater on the damn space station.
Well, just real quickly, maybe just the APRS repeater? They're going to leave the others? I don't know. I don't know how that works, but Anthony can comment on that, comes back around, and I didn't tell Jack to hold off, you know, because of, for any reason except for, you know, I have to imagine he was frustrated, you know, with taking the tech. You know, why get back on that rabbit, on that hamster wheel, you know, it's like, you know, right now just enjoy the victory, you know, and, you know, sure, you know, if he wants to do that, but I just didn't see him getting back on that hamster wheel of, you know, unless he feels he's going to knock it right out, which, you know, okay, more power to him, so. All right, anyhow, over to Anthony, enough on all that, you know. Welcome aboard, period. End of story. Got nothing really else to say about that. And as far as the ISS repeater goes, maybe Anthony can clarify. Maybe that's just that repeater. So I don't know. Again, I'm way out of my element here.
Yeah, Dakota, before you sell that thing, do your own research. I think I saw an article about it. I could be wrong. But something comes to mind that I've recently seen something like that. But if I were you, I would do a little bit of testing and see what you can do with that Yagi hitting from your house, hitting repeaters, because it might be interesting how far you can get with that Yagi, get it up on a big paint stick or something like that. I mean, I know you have a mobile and all that stuff, but could be interesting to figure out and just play with. So it's not useless. It's just not useful for its intended purpose, potentially.
Was there a breaker in there?
Hey, good morning. It's Ray. KC8S is at T. Just wanted to break in real quick. There are some satellites that still carry amateur voice. They do be able to work with that. But, yeah, it is able to be used for other applications. Just listening here on the way to work. Wanted to jump in and say good morning, everybody, and I'll be listening. KC8S is at T.
Ray out of Lake Angeles?
Correct, yep. I'm also a EMRS operator. Trying to get my repeater up here. I got it listed, but it's not up yet.
Okay, we've spoken before on your commute to the center line on the GMRS side, definitely. So, personal here is Donald. But, yeah, we had this little chat in the morning, last about a half hour or so, and talk about a variety of subjects, and now we're in the middle of the satellite and space station stuff, which is above my head, so I don't know who's up after me. I lost track. I promise to bring a pencil and paper to class tomorrow and keep everybody in order.
Dakota, you're up, buddy.
I think it's me. Let me see if I got it. Alright, I think it's me. Quick Google search. T3 is at a standstill. Elon wants to retire it in 2027, but the original agreement's 2030, the whole ISS. But then I just read another article from, like, Radio Daily or Ham Daily or whatever the hell it was. It doesn't seem like a very reputable source, but they were saying March 9, 2025. So that would be last week before. So I don't know. It's a bummer, not that I do it a whole lot, but it is something cool to do.
Well, I would imagine that if something else would come up. You know, just, you know, retiring it probably means in order to make room for some other project or something. And, you know, still have the ability. And as with a Ray, or whatever points out, there are other birds that have voice communication, so can still use the stick. Is that a circular polarized? I'm not sure how they do that. Is that circular polarized because of the tumbling in space, or because if it's circular polarized, there's not really a good use for it terrestrially, I would think. I don't know. At the Starbucks, by the time it gets around to me, I should be clear, but you never know. Anthony?
It's coffee time. I thought of you yesterday, Sean. I had to stop in at Starbucks and get a midday coffee. I was crashing hard. It was delicious. Yeah, Dakota, we'll have to maybe, now that it's warming up one day, look at some of the timing of the ISS passing over and meet up and give it a try. I'd be super interested to get it to work. It could be pretty fun. So, yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting. I don't know if Ray is still out there or wants to hop in, but he can go, and then Donald, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'll take it. Like you said, you do have to know, you have to track online and know the timing and everything, but I tried the APRS for the ISS, and I never seem to catch it the times that I'm on, but I'm running the regular APRS frequency right now on the other side of the radio. I've got the FTM 350, so it runs two sides, and I can run APRS in the background, so it's pretty fun thing to run and see what pops up on there. I've received stations almost 400 miles away at times. It's interesting how the data travels. Go and pick it up, Don, and I'll probably make this my last. I'm just about to work. I'm working on a split now every day, so I'll be on in and out of different repeaters here. Casey, it is with you. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, Ray, copy that. I guess it's a good thing now that you got some stability instead of bouncing between Flint and Centerline, so wish you luck with that. As far as what you guys are talking about, you guys are all above me knowledge-wise, and the only thing I really know about communications with the space station or any of that is what I hear Captain Don, when he was on there, and I'd listen to him or check out some of his videos or something, but... yeah, you guys are a little bit above my league on that right now. By the time I get around it, it'll probably be, the space station will probably be decommissioned or something with my luck. So I think Dakota's up, and Sean?
Well, I know as of right now, the plan is to retire the ISS, and then I think SpaceX is going to send up a new space station. I don't know what the timeline for that is. I also don't know if they plan on putting a... But, yeah, Anthony, we'll have to figure that out. I would like to do it a couple more times before that thing is turned off. Make use of that Yagi and then move it along.
Got a little flirty there at the end, Dakota. I hope you're all done, but I got not much else to add. I was busy ordering, and Miguel, I ordered a coffee instead of a cappuccino with me, and she goes, oh, that's a little out of character. I'm like, great. They know me so well at the Starbucks. They call it when I don't order my regular. Anthony?
That's not necessarily a bad thing, Sean. It is good to be known for good reasons when you frequent places, so, yeah. But Dakota, yeah, with this weather breaking, we're going to have to, you know, I say this now, and I know it's like the false start of spring, and we're probably going to go through 3 or 4 weeks of crummy weather, but maybe one of the weekends coming up in April, we'll have to meet up and do some POTA and see if the timing lines up for a pass of the space station.
I believe Ray may have dropped out. I'll give him one more shot so he's still within range. You there, Ray? Okay, sounds like he failed. Well, we're just going to call Sean Norm now. Wherever, you know, he'll walk in, he'll show up at Starbucks, and everybody knows his name. And they'll have his order ready when he pulls right up, you know. That could be a good thing, you know. I used to have a place when I was working at Verizon, and they see me coming in the lot, and by the time I walk in the door, my order's ready, and I don't change it much. I said, what are you guys going to do if I change this one day? And they just laughed. They go, you'll never change. And that was it there. But, yeah, everybody knows your name to be a good thing, and sometimes it can be just as bad, but to each his own. Dakota?
I haven't been a regular anywhere in a long time. Art and Jake and Romeo was the last place I was a regular. Friday and Saturday, that's where you would find me. Now I don't really get out much, but for anyone commuting, there's a accident with a couple tow trucks and police. I'm still sitting at 53 and 27 on the southbound lane just before 26, and it's barely moving. So if you can scoot around, scoot around.
Well, I am back on the road, and that's just my last little mile to go here. The last mile, like fiber. Got to make the last mile here. But, yeah, it is, they've done it a few times before. It's just been a while, and catches me off guard every time. And usually they'll say, got to get your quad macchiato today, and I'll just kind of like, how do you know who it's here? And then I look, there's a little pee-hole camera, you know, pee-hole camera in the speaker. And I'm like, okay. So they see my arse. But today it was, well, that's a little out of character, isn't it? Anywho, the phone is ringing, and I got to grab this. It's work-related, so I don't know if I'll be back before I get parked. So I'm going to sign now in case. W8FU. Anthony.
Talk to you later, Sean. Yeah, Dakota, there's also a apartment fire at 27 in Van Dyke, so you're probably also catching some odd traffic because of that.
Go ahead, Dakota.
Thanks, Donald. Yeah, my buddy sent me a Snapchat of this morning. It looks like they got this accident cleared out, though. The police lights just turned off, thank God. But I got in the truck, and it said I was going to be at work at 7:30, and now it's at 7:49, and I've gone less than a mile in the last 20 minutes. And, it looks like, is that Kirkway that's on fire right there? I can see all the fire trucks and stuff. What a morning. Time to go home, I guess.
Totally. If you can work remotely, you know, a 20-minute delay means turning around for sure. But, yeah, that sucks. If there's an accident and that apartment fire, I'm sure it's causing chaos in that area.
Yeah, I'm not watching. I don't have a computer on with me where I'm at right now. It's in the other room, and I usually watch. Because I don't own a TV. I when I retired, I got rid of it. I do everything now live stream on my laptop. And I do the living room with a cup of coffee and stuff like that. But I'm not in the living room. I'm in the horizontal office, and I am actually horizontal. So I don't know how well this boof-wang is getting out. But, yeah. So we're kind of slumming it and winging it today on this end. I have nothing on my agenda on Wednesdays, no doctor's appointments, physical therapies, or anything like that. So my Wednesdays are my free day. I might just have Prince Spaghetti, who knows?
Like you said, it is Prince Spaghetti Day. You might as well engage. Donald, you're lucky to have nothing today, man. It's going to be a nice day. You should try to get outside and go for a walk or sit on a park bench or something. Whatever tickles your fancy being outdoors, but it is going to be nice. So definitely get outside while you can. Who knows? It may rain for 10 days, but you'll get outside for one. So it's worth doing it. Over to you, Dakota.
NADBF, I am moving. So that was Stony Creek Apartments off of Van Dyke right there, which are very, very dumpy apartments. But conveniently enough, they're like a mile away from station, I think that's station 1 in Washington Township. Either station 1 or station 3, there's a couple of them. So, looks like we got it under control, but they had a lot of equipment there. And, yeah, I'm finally moving, nice and late to work. I would love to turn around and go home, but remote work isn't really a thing where I'm at, unfortunately. But it is what it is, as long as I'm moving now. And then today is hump day, so we only got a couple more days.
Correct. Hey, you're frying some bacon over there. I don't know if you got to switch repeaters or what's going on, but yeah, it is hump day, and man, I am ready to get over this hump. I am traveling Friday, so it'll be good. I got a 3 o'clock flight going down to Florida for a few days, but this week is like the week that feels like it'll never end. I got so much stuff to do at the office and so little time, but it just won't go fast enough either. So, but on that note, I am pulling in, so I am going to listen out, but I will be clear after this one. So this is K-E-8-R-U-H, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow morning. See you later.
Okay, have a great day. I'm out of here, and let Dakota de-stress his way into his office. And like I said, I promise to bring a pencil and paper to class tomorrow so we can keep everybody in order. That's the least I can do, you know, sit here and keep a notepad as to who's on first, what's on second, I don't know, third base. And as far as the round table rotation goes. So everybody, who's still listening, everybody have a great day. Those of you that are going to be on the road, be safe, and we'll catch you guys in the morning, pencil and paper in hand. W8RCY.
I'll catch you later, Anthony. And Donald, I forgot to mention, yeah, I'm the same way. I've got one TV in the house, and the kids are the only ones that really watch it. I watch, you know, I watch what I want to watch on my computer. I don't let the station dictate what I'm going to watch. Sure as shit don't watch any of the news on live TV. So, I'm with you. And I was frying because at like 27 of Andike, where I was right there, it's such a weird spot. I can hit a bunch of repeaters, but I'm fringing on all of them, whether it's Richmond, Romeo, or Warren. I got to like get over the hump of 26 and then I'm good. But everyone have a good day, and I'll catch y'all later. NADBF, standing by.
Oh, we now return this channel to its regularly scheduled programming. WARCY.
WATAP.
ABAPR from W8FQ.
Good morning, Sean, and it is so late.
Morning, Tom. How you doing?
So far, so good. Just finishing up my grocery shopping here. Getting home. Fooling around with the scanner I got. I got to figure out how to make the software work. For me to ship properly, and now that that's fixed, I gotta just decide what I want to put into the store, what I want to listen to. Technical stuff that I never was very good at, you know what I mean? And
yeah, that's probably why I stay away from scanners. I can't stand programming scanners. The worst.
Yeah. I can't say that I blame you. but I can't afford a regular two-way radio that I can get programmed to listen to what I want, so it's the next best thing, I guess. How's about you? Your turn, Sean, and HLY. Very good to you.
Yeah, Tom, I just wanted to say hi. I had to get a hold of Phil real quick. He's looking for a piece of equipment that I just located. Wanted to let him know. But I do got to get back to work here.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. All right, I'll talk to you if you have a good day. And HLA will be clear 7-3.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you later. HLY from WAFU.
N1KRD.
W8RJD, mobile. W8RJD, mobile.
KEA-TFM.
Unless you're looking for a signal report or anything. Stand by. UPATF.
Hey, Phil, it's Sean. When you get a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this laptop does not have a serial port. I'm sorry about that. I thought it did. However, I have these Weiss boxes, 50, 70 Weiss boxes, that would probably run your software perfectly and have serial ports. So, but you know, they don't have monitors or keyboards or anything. You'd have to, you know, use it as like a little PC.
Okay. Think about it. I'd do that then. I mean, I've got an old tower system that's got serial ports on it directly, but I'm just wondering, kind of something that's all self-contained on the with keyboard, monitor, all that stuff.
No, I understand completely. That's what I would want, too. I just was offering it, This laptop does not do it. Now, if you just wanted to borrow one, I have one here you could borrow, but we use it for exactly the same reason. And I can't, that would be all I could do is let you borrow it.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could. If it ends up working out and I can use this thing, then I'll pick myself up one. But just to see if I can get this thing to work, yeah, that'd be great if I could just borrow it.
All right, I'll go see if I can line it up and get it good to go. So and then you know where I'm at. If you're out and about,
I'm
you're
not
still
sure.
About being out now.
We'll have to play with it next time you're back. Right, let's go to Stu. You got the ability to go to L52, right?
Wally. Hey Wally, you're on the wrong frequency. You keyed up on me.
Okay, that was weird. All right, so probably, I don't think today, but did you say you are going to be around tomorrow or not?
I have a class from 9 to noon tomorrow, so I get in here about 7:30, and then I got to go right across the street. I got a 9 o'clock class that runs all the way to noon. And then I'll be pretty much out of that after that. So other than that, I don't have anything specific.
Okay. Let's see. I don't think I have anything going tomorrow.
All you have to do is change the channel. Up or down, Cheryl?
No, I don't. Do you want me for lunch?
I just heard Wally again. That's weird. Did you hear him when I was talking?
Well, I heard him that first time, but I didn't hear him again. And I'm back monitoring myself. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, he's talking about like he's on DMR, but I'm hearing him here. That's very strange. All right, anyhow, let me see what I can put together. I'll get a hold of you a little later, and I'll let you know. And then as far as getting it from me, you know where I'm at. You know what my schedule is for the most part. You know how to get a hold of me. So, all right, I got to get out of here and tend to a couple of work things. I'll be listening. W8OP.
Okay, sounds good. W8OP. W8OP. Test.
Nick Cass listening. I guess he can't get there from here.
Are you on DMR or are you on UHF? That is FBI.
I'm on your favorite repeater, 2.6.
Okay, just checking.
If you're heading westbound on 696 and you have any reason to go northbound on Van Dyke, you can't do that today. So there's my public service announcement.
Roger.
I tried calling you on you, I gotta go see CVO. Gotta go talk to them about a project. So, but I had to go to the mound, turn around, come back, but I did it.
Yeah, we had a kind of busy morning this morning. We had visitors from outside agencies doing some necessary programming work. And then within the last, they just left a little bit ago, so we went to Mi Pueblo to get some lunch, so I've been off the radio. So, and I just sat down with it, so I'm not going to be in here. This will be my final, and I'm going to eat my lunch from Mi Pueblo. But I am around. Anyhow, after yours, I'll be waiting.
I'll get a minute. Maybe I come say hi. Depends how long this project takes. So I have to go by the guard shack, but usually she just waves me in. She knows my car. So I'm going to get out of here. Maybe a few from NHK, BB.
All right. Later. W8FU.
W8RJD Mobile.
Good afternoon, Ryan. You're still out there, KF8F. Hey, Dave, I got to tell you, I'm surprised that I'm out here, and it's sunny. I'm on my way home from court, and I can't believe it's allegedly going to snow tomorrow. Why? I hope not. I hope it doesn't stick. I don't think it'll stick. I think it's supposed to be like a snow rain mix or something like that. I don't think it'll be on the ground for that long. But I'm it's warm in my truck. I cannot believe that, the weather's going to turn that fast. But allegedly it will, and I know that they're supposed to get a big snowstorm up in the UP tomorrow.
Yeah, today's the warmest. 69, and then, yeah, it starts to go down. Well, we get the seasonal temperatures next week, but, yeah, it doesn't say snow, it just says rain, high of 56 tomorrow.
Yeah, mine's showing like a rain-snow mix, but it may not get cold enough for anything to snow, but I'm trying to figure out, we're going on spring break, which is good, because apparently it's going to be cold next week, so we're going down to Texas for spring break, where my brother-in-law is. I'm going to try to bring my, FT-891 with me and see if I can't hit some parks on the air in Texas, but I'm trying to figure out what size battery I can get on the plane. I think my Violinos might be too big because I've got like a 18 amp hour and a 20 amp hour, and obviously I got a 50 amp hour, which there's no way that's coming on the plane with me. But I'm trying to figure out what battery I can get away with on the plane.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You obviously can't pack it in your luggage. They don't let you do that anymore. I think it's 100, I thought it was 200 watt hours. So they do it by watt hours. So anything below that. So that's why laptop batteries are like 100 watt hours or something like that. You have to go find out for sure. I don't know what's done. Somebody else out here might know. But it's rated at watt hours.
I'll have to do the conversion to find out if I can, what size batteries that I can get away with bringing. Because I'm thinking if all else fails, I built an adapter for those DeWalt batteries. So if I thinking I can use that buck converter to get them down to 13.8 volts, and I might bring those because they're awfully compact. I've got 10 amp hour, and I've got 6 and 5 of those DeWalt batteries. So I'm like, they're 20 volts, but I'm pretty sure that buck converter won't have a problem taking them down to the 13.8.
DHL.
Go ahead, Tim.
Just to answer your question, the limit of the FAA approval is 100 watt hours. The problem is volts, and therefore it's going to be a 10 amp hours is 120 watt hours. So basically, you're limited to 8 amp hours on 13 volt batteries. Things that are designed to go on airplanes don't link the batteries together. So if you look at the wall batteries, the way that they're wired in, they can be separated up. So that each of them. There's actually three in one, so that I can get it. And when you can put it all in, it all ties together. But that's your answer. 100 or so amp hours on a 12 volt lithium.
Thanks a lot. You broke up there, but I caught it. I caught enough of it to get that it's 100 watt hours for the plane. So I'll do the conversion and figure out what that'll get me down to. Back over to you, Dave, or Tim.
Yeah, I'll send you the. I found the official FAA whatever. That has that, what Tim just said. But you can see if there's any, like, I don't know if it's like they have to be separated or a total or, you know, that type of thing. So, but they, yeah, that's why all the laptop batteries are like 100 watt hour max. Usually they're rated at like 98, so they're just a little bit under.
Yeah, I've noticed that, because I know that the Dell that I have, the Dell laptop that I have, the battery on that thing is way, way, it's, I think it's like 65 watt hours, and it, you know, that thing only lasts a couple hours, so usually I have to bring, a battery pack with me when I travel with it, because, you know, that's, battery maybe gets me about an hour or two. That doesn't do me much good at court, I can tell you that.
Yeah, once the ARM processors are a little bit more mainstream, because they are making Windows ARM-based things. It's kind of new. Dakota's got one, and he says it lasts just, you know, it's just as long as the MacBooks. I think they're running like Snapdragon processors or whatever. So, I mean, for something like what you're doing, you know, just bringing it to court, you have documents open, you're not doing, you know, major development work that requires an x86, that would probably work great for you. But they're still kind of pricey. I think they're like in the $2,000 category right now.
Yeah, that might be something to look into someday. Yeah, I'm not gonna pay $2,000 right now. Like with my laptops, like I think I bought this one. I bought it as a Dell refurbished for like $400. And it's really just because I'm so hard on them. I don't need much in terms of power on those on the work computer, and I beat them up so bad taking them around places that I hate spending a lot of money on them because I doubt I'm going to have it for more than a few years.
Yeah, I mean, the Windows laptops, I feel like they're like 2 to 3 years, and then you end up replacing them or they become obsolete, but I recently purchased a Lenovo Legion laptop, and I'm happy with it, but
I still think I prefer my Mac just because it's 13-inch and it's lighter and the battery lasts all day. So if I'm going to be doing a long session, I'd go on my Mac. But as you know, with ham radio, most of the things are on Windows. And so, like, if I'm programming a radio or anything like that, I need to use the Windows machine. And it's also got a GPU in it, an NVIDIA GPU, so for playing games and stuff. Because I don't build desktops anymore. I used to, a long time ago when I was more into gaming, just build desktops. But now I'm a light gamer, so I only need the power of a laptop's GPU.
Yeah, I've noticed that, you know, especially like, because my son took my old, I think I had an HP, and he was able to play Fortnite on it. I was like, I think that computer was like 2016 was when it was purchased. I'm like, wow, I can't believe he's playing Fortnite on a computer that old. But sure enough, yeah, he was doing it. So yeah, you'd be surprised at the light gaming you can do with, like, you don't need a whole lot for that. But yeah, that, the Mac, my wife has the MacBook Air. That's her daily driver, to be honest, it's a little bit of a pain because, you know, now that we're in practice together, I have to kind of live in two worlds, the Mac world and the PC world, and because I firmly prefer the PC for doing what I'm doing. But, you know, man, I'll tell you what, her MacBook Air, she's got, I think, the one that's the M3, I think. Because she had the Intel MacBook Air, which is like the first one that they came out with, and I think that one finally died on her, and now she's got the, like I said, I think it's the M3, and that thing lasts all day long, and then some.
Yep. Yeah, just imagine that with Windows. Dakota was really impressed with, I think it was a Qualcomm Snapdragon or whatever. He just loved it, as far as like battery life and all that stuff. And yeah, it's so I mean, since you guys are in two different worlds, you guys could probably benefit from the Microsoft 365 subscription thingy, because then you guys could get OneDrive, and you can, you know, move things across with OneDrive. It works both on the Mac and on Windows and all that stuff. Of course, if you had a Mac, if you guys both had Macs, you could just do AirDrop. You could send files across that way between each other, but there's ways to do it. There's a ways to work. I try to be platform agnostic. I try to try them all, Linux, Mac, and Windows. I can't really run Linux as a mainstream desktop. I know people do it. It doesn't work too well. And now that they have WSL, the Windows system for Linux, it's almost like you've got Linux already on your Windows machine that way.
Yeah, I like Linux. I've got a lot of machines. One of the things I like about it is it's so lightweight. The problem is that just with what I do, it's so Windows heavy. We do have an office. We have the Microsoft 365, the business set up. So we've got like the business license, and we use SharePoint. Most of my case files are all on SharePoint, so that we can access them anywhere. So, like, I brought the iPad to court with me today, and all of our files were on the SharePoint drive. And then it also lets us take notes, you know, for the file. It lets us. And I use Power Automate to automate a lot of our documents and stuff. So it works out really well. It's just when she has a problem, because I'm her IT guys and I have to switch my brain into Mac mode, and it's not easy. And I would do Linux if the Office stuff worked well with Linux, but it doesn't seem to work all that great. I know they've got, like, the emulators and stuff. There's a, what is it, Wine and those things that'll give you, like, a Windows, like, environment. But I don't know. Maybe I haven't tried it. Maybe it's been too long since I've tried it last, but every time I try to do, you know, anything Windows on the Linux, it really didn't work very well. It was kind of like you were trying to make it fit, you know, like when you're stamping a puzzle piece that's not quite right into the puzzle. It didn't fit right.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is your battery life suffers because usually it's optimized, you know, your laptops are optimized for Windows and the drivers and all that stuff. So you already have weak battery performance on a PC. Why add more to it by going to Linux? So you lose like an hour or half. I don't know what the ratio would be, but you would lose about a half an hour to an hour of battery life. And I think we're going to Linux anyway. I personally think it's better just to do Windows. And if you need some Linux-y things, and I've just installed a Windows subsystem for Linux. And that's actually how I developed some of my stuff, like not work stuff, because work, they're all Macs, but personal stuff where I want to develop on Linux and I need x86. And it works really great. You just go into VS Code and it's like seamless. It's like there's, you know, the terminal for Linux subsystem and all that stuff. And I've enjoyed it. Decades ago, I would have probably said, I'm never going to go back to Windows or I'm never going to use Windows again. But once I found they have like a tweak tool that like gets rid of all the Microsoft bloatware, it uninstalls apps and everything. I mean, once I found that, and it makes Windows 11 nice and lean.
Yeah, I always do a clean install of Windows 11 whenever I get a new machine like this last one. I actually like swapped out the hard drive or the SSD, the stick, and put in my own, and then put, you know, loaded the operating system on fresh just from a download from Windows. I kind of make that a habit every time, and it seems to be a lot better. I'm at my destination right now. I gotta visit some lady for the probate court. So I'm gonna say 7-3s. I'll listen out. W8RJD. And I'll be listening out.
Well, very good. Yeah, and those set-top boxes are those. You know, what I'm talking about the $150 Windows boxes. I mean, those are great. Put the lean stuff on it. So, all right, talk to you later. Camp Ada.
K-E-8-R-U-H, anybody monitoring?
KE8 GFM.
Where are we off to today? just finished a meeting over by the Chrysler Tech Center here, where the Silver Dome used to be, actually. And now I'm driving to go pick up my wife a birthday cake, and then I'm heading home.
Cool. Happy birthday to your wife. Any particular flavor cake you're getting?
Well, I actually said it wrong. I said cake, but birthday cake for us now was we decided that we couldn't really eat the whole cake and we got sick of it. So now what we do for birthdays is we go to Vince and Joe's and I pick out five different, you know, single serving desserts, pieces of cheesecake and whatever they have in the cabinet there. And then for birthdays, we just all pick what we want and we put a candle on one of them. So that's what we do now. So I'm going to Vince and Joe's and I'm going to kind of pick out an assortment of different cakes and desserts, and that's what we'll do tonight.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, you probably heard me. I got a key lime pie from, what is it? It starts with an A. Achutes. Eckett's pie. And I wasn't too happy about the key lime pie there, so I ended up getting two slices. Did kind of what you did, just got two slices on Sunday because I wanted to redeem myself. But I think next time I get a pie from them, it's going to be the Michigan Fourberry because that's the best one, at least that they make, in my opinion. But, yeah, we've done that too. My wife has gotten, like some tiramisu and cheesecakes and all that stuff because everybody's got different tastes.
Well, I'm kind of surprised the key lime pie wasn't that good because I had the four berry. In fact, Greg gave me a four berry pie. Remember, it was actually really good. We killed the whole thing. But I'm kind of surprised. I would have thought from the four berry that the key lime would kind of be just as good.
Yeah, I think I like it a little bit more, not sweet. A little bit more citrusy taste, and theirs was kind of a little bit weak. It's okay, but it was a little weak on the nice lime taste.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that place. Where are they located at?
We have a couple locations. The one closest to us is probably on Hall Road by Costco. It's in that same shopping center. They also have one up in Chesterfield if you want to take a nice little drive, 24 mile and something. And then there's one in Armada, which has a coffee. There's a coffee shop that's famous up there, but they also, I think they got on the bandwagon and they're selling coffee and espresso and stuff there too. So if you want to take a nice drive up North Avenue, there's in Armada, there's one too. But yeah, so those are the three that I know about.
It's kind of funny how Armada's like the location of places like that. You know, there's wineries out there, you got lakes out there, you got that. They got quite a few things to go and do.
I had never been up that way, so I first went to the Chesterfield one, and they kind of didn't have the pie, for one. So I said, you know what, I'll take a drive to Armada, because I really want to go on Hall Road. And it was a nice drive. I went there in the, before all the rush hour traffic and the schools got out and stuff, and it's just a two-lane road, 55 miles per hour. And I had to wait an hour for the pie, so then I explored and ventured north. I had my little shortwave radio with me, so I was looking for, a place to park and see what I could scan and listen to. But it wasn't a good HF day that day. But I got to see where all the stuff was out there, and I ended
ended up in Berlin Township. I didn't even know that place existed. There was a little park by the fire station, and that's where I sat for about 10 minutes, and then I went back to Armada, which was about 10 minutes away. So it was a nice day trip. Got me out of the house for a while.
Yeah, we kind of discovered Armada on that, like, last year. Saying we're going to go drive out there and do different things. So, yeah, it's on the list. So it'd be a good day for it. But, yeah. So, yeah, I'll pick up the cake, and then I'll have a couple hours between kids getting home and that. So, with any luck, my IC705 display should arrive today, and I'm going to try to get that repair done before everybody gets home. Get that fixed to the point now where I can't see my display anymore.
Did you have to end up getting it, did they send it as a warranty repair, or did you just have to end up buying it?
No, I had to buy it because I thought the warranty was 3 years for some reason on the 705, but I guess it's 12 months, so they didn't cover it. So for the guy who does the warranty stuff to fix it, his charge was $206. I almost just sent him the radio, but then I'm like, nah, this is a repair I can totally do. So I just went ahead and took your invoice, and I just went contacted, filled out the web form, and someone called me right away, asked for my credit card, and everything was done, and parts. So I just figured I'd do this one myself. Plus, I was going to plan on doing the mod, too, so figured why not, give me something to do. It didn't look terribly difficult, so.
Yeah, there's just layers when you open it up, you know, take the battery off, obviously, and then you open it up, and then there was, like, layers for the circuit board. You just got to be careful, like anything. There's always something that's, like, connected, so, like, if you're not careful, it'll, like, snap it off, right? Like, I don't think I had too much of that, but it definitely is meant to be repaired, you know, like, it's designed to be repaired. Like, you open it up, and it's, like, things come out logically, and the display is kind of, like, on the bottom of something, if I remember correctly. So once you get that off, you just pop the old display off, take the, you know, it's connected with a ribbon cable, of course, and then you put the new one in. The parts that they give you, I think there's, like, a lot of extra parts that, like, you probably won't use, but I think, like, they give you a new ribbon cable, for example.
Yeah, I figure I repaired electronics for 10 years and still deal with it every day, so there's really no excuse for me not just to fix my own radio. So, I just take care of it. A little bummed it happened, though. It seems strange to me, but, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. I use the thing every day, so it's worth $135, I think, is what it costs. So, KE8, TFM.
KEF8S. Yeah, that was my rationale, too. And I don't use it necessarily every day, but it's my, I leave it, when I'm not using the 710, I hook it up to my antenna, and I use it for listening. And I got the app on my phone, on the, you know, iOS app called SDR Control, and I'm able to remote into it and, like, tune around and, you know, get the good audio and get the waterfall and all that fun stuff. So I like that because then I can be in bed shortwave listening on Bluetooth headphones and all that.
For that iOS app, did you still have to buy that software from ICOM to actually control it?
No, did not have to buy the ICOM software. It's purely standalone. Some guy in Germany, I think, is the guy that's developing it. He actually writes the Flex Radio version of it, of the app. So it's pretty good. I mean, it's not perfect, but obviously the Flex Radio app is going to look more, you know, nicer. But the what he did for the iOS app is really good. I ended up buying like all three of his things. He's got an iOS app, an iPad app, and a Mac app, and I just like heavily invested in it. So that's why it's hard for me to like. I'm not gonna be able to go to that Yaesu one because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna lose all my functionality on my 705 hat. So I probably will not be buying that Yaesu radio. I'm just gonna stick with the 705 until it dies and it becomes obsolete.
So I assume those apps are iOS only. I don't have I have Android products, so that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, I don't see me changing from the 705 pretty soon. But I was thinking about buying the software they have to control it over the web. But I'm not quite sure how it works. Like, if I'll get buyer's remorse, it won't work as nice as I think it will, and then I'll just wind up not using it. So, but I was looking at that the other day.
Which radio?
C705.
So I don't know if it's the same software, but I have that software for my 7300, and the 9700 has it all built in, but the 7300 requires the software, and I like it. It worked pretty good, and I especially use it on the 9700. I've used that quite a bit. While traveling to get back to my all mode, and it's basically the same stuff. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but I thought it was worth it.
Yeah, and just so you know, there's like if you want something for your 710, I think Yaesu makes something, but it's like a hardware device, and it has like an Ethernet on the back of it. I have no idea if that one's good or not.
Yeah, I don't really get have the 710 out a lot, to be honest with you, because I always have it in the case ready to go for POTA stuff. I never take it out, and the 705 is just always sitting there at my desk, and for listening and that, I kind of like the audio and the receive better on the 705, I think. I've at least convinced myself it's better, which is good, because now I have each radio has a purpose, and they all get used, so... But, yeah, maybe I'll do that. I may buy that and then try it.
There you go. Yeah. You have to tell me how you like it. But my 705, I'm gearing it up to be POTA portable. I got, you know, even though I got that Zygu amp, I found a little tiny 50-watt amp, I should say, and a tiny little... 100-watt tuner. Obviously, I'm not going to be doing 100 watts, but and I found a nice little three pro. You know, it's like a Y cable, but how would you call that with three? You know what I mean? It's like a Y. It goes from one to three. So like that's perfect. I can power the amp, the 705, and the tuner all from one connection. And looking at the two little boxes, the amp and the tuner, it's a lot lighter than my little Zygu thingy.
Yeah, if I want something light for the backpack, 705 actually is perfect. The battery is small that you need, and you can talk all day. I mean, it's kind of nice, but if I'm not needing, like, the backpack it anywhere, that's an easier setup. Pull it out, plug in power, hook up the antenna, good to go. Actually, I feel it's a little easier to deal with because by the time I get out the 705, the tripod, the tuner, hook up the patch cables and so forth, it's, I don't know, it just feels like it's more work for some reason.
I mean, a lot of wires and all that stuff, so I'm hoping to make this in a nice, neat little package, but I'm going the Lego model, I guess, where if I just need, if it's going to be QRP, all I have to do is take out the 705. If I want to do a little bit more, I can bring the tuner and the amp out, you know, that way. And they're all separate. They should be able to be used with any radio. It doesn't have to necessarily be the 705, so I'm trying to, you know, if this stuff works, it'll be great, because it's like an auto-sensing amp. As long as you put enough power into it, it scales, and it knows what band it's on, and same thing with the tuner. So, and I've got little short cables that go through it. I'm not going to be able to do anything this weekend, though. I've got to get ready for a trip, but when the weather finally is stabilized and warm enough to do POTA, I'll be ready for it.
Yeah, for camping and that, though, the 705 is nice. It's light. I know traveling, I can fit it in my laptop bag, and I just got to get a little smaller antenna. Because the 750, I can't travel with that as easy. It fits in the backpack when I'm hiking, but, yeah, I'd like to find a little bit smaller antenna. Maybe that one that, who posted it, it's, like, similar to the 750, but a little bit smaller. I'm thinking about getting one of those just to keep the travel pack nice and compact.
You can't go wrong for what, $27 for that thing? I haven't tried it out yet. The only one that I know that's tried it out is John, and he says it works great. He uses it with his 891.
Okay, yeah, that's who posted it, John, yeah. No, I had been looking at that one, too, and I'm sure it worked fine. I mean, as long as you set the length right for the match, should be just as good as the 750. Yeah, who knows? I may get bored and want to do more QRP anyway, so it should be a good radio. I know once I get the boat out, I want to try to find a good antenna solution for the boat, just because I do so much fishing at night. I want to get a mount in place for my 705, so at least while I'm waiting an hour or two for fish to bite, I can play shortwave on the boat, because where I fish is the POTA park anyway, so yeah. So that'll be a good setup for me.
If you're willing to spend the money, you should look at that Yaesu ATAS antenna. I don't even think you have to have, like, a ground plane for it. I mean, you got to have ground on your, it uses your car as a ground, I guess. But I've seen people use it as, they put it on tripods, and they use it that way. And then that one tunes the antenna. The antenna goes up and down, you know, screwdriver antenna with the motor. So I don't know. You might want to consider that. I don't have any experience with it, but I see people using it on videos all the time.
Yeah, that's the problem with the boat is the ground plane. I was thinking about just using a piece of PVC and sticking it in the seat mount on the front of the boat and putting a dipole ham stick in the air. I was thinking about that. And then the other idea I had was just taking and putting one of my 1-pound sinkers on some steel wire and just drop it into the water and have that be the counterpoise for the antenna that I attach on the NMO mount. I was thinking about that too. So I got to come up with something nice and simple that will work for me. But yeah, the ground plane, I'm not quite sure how to deal with it with the water, and aluminum sucks, so I suppose, so that ain't going to help me any. So yeah, we'll see. I got to come up with something though, but I don't want it to be too complicated where I'm tripping over it, you know, with fishing gear or whatnot. I kind of want it to be a nice, really simple setup so it's out of the way and not getting in the way of fishing.
Yep, yeah, I don't know why, because I don't know how it works with water. I mean, water has some conductivity. Use the water as a counterpoise. It's not as good as salt water, but there's some conductivity in the water.
Yeah, that's just it. I don't know. Some of the spots I fish, I could probably put the 750 up because it's, I basically sit on the bank of either Harson's or Dickerson Island. Dickerson Island, is it? I think that's what it is. And you're right there in, like, the wet marsh, and there's ground there, so. Yeah, I don't know. Got to think of something, but I spend too much time out there not to have an HF rig, so. And the 705 makes sense out there just because it's a nice, simple setup. So I'll just do QRP. You're just playing around anyway.
Yep, like anything, you got to experiment. You just got to do trial and error, speak to people who actually go out with the boats and do HF if there's anybody out there and see what they do.
All right. I'm sure I'll figure something out. The dipole ham stick will definitely work, that's for sure. Tuning's a little bit restrictive, but it'll work. All right, well, I'm pulling up to Vincent Joe's, so I'm going to let you go. I'm just chatting with you, and take it easy. I'll be clear after you. KE8, TFM.
All righty, pick out some good stuff. I'll go do some work for a couple hours. Talk to you later. KF8N. W8FU. Hey, they got my diet line made right.
You're all over the place. He's on P25. He's on DMR. He's on analog. He's on both at the same time. He's on ground wire. Man, just like a whack-a-mole, whack-a-wally.
Yeah, that's my ADHD, whatever it's called. Somebody does an answer in about 15 seconds, I move on. I got to work on that. Where's I've had that problem for a long time. I don't imagine it's going to go away very easily.
Well, it's not a criticism. I'm just joking. But we were busy. We had a shop full of folks from a couple of different agencies doing some stuff. And then we went and grabbed lunch, and then we had to, we got a bunch of, all the radios that were in my office, now we're in the deployment phase, so the day was pretty abuzz with that. That was what the morning was all about, and in the afternoon, so. Tomorrow I've got, I'm incommunicado, I've got a class I have to attend, mandatory training for employees, right across the street from the shop. But that's going to take all morning. And after that, we'll see. We'll see where we're at.
Yeah, I used to have to take those classes when I worked for the other big corporation in my life. It basically was a be nice class.
Yeah, we had those too, and then we've got some other things in policy reviews, and it's just like it never ends. It's like, oh my God, and the policy reviews are just mind-numbing. You know, they just basically direct you to a PDF copy of the policy that you're supposed to read to, and then at the end, the only thing they care about is that you click the I read and understand it, because all they want is that if you do something wrong, you know, you can't claim that I didn't know because you clicked I read and understand, you know, one of the tens of thousands of pages they asked you to read.
I get it. I think I figured out my duplexer problem. It's bad. I used one of those, my little cheapy LED cleaning wave watt meter type thing, and it's only pushing about 3 watts through it on UHF. So then I took the whole thing out and connected the antenna between the radio, this radio, and that radio, and this radio is putting out 25 on low and 40 on high. So I think I got a bad Wells duplexer. But it's older than I'll get out, and I did order the DX Engineering one, but it's not going to be here till Friday, but that's okay, because I didn't spend $100. I should have spent $100, and I would have had it the next day in free shipping. But by the time I hit the go button, it was too late for me to figure that out.
You say the one you bought is DX Engineering branded?
No, I bought a Comet, I think. Comet or Diamond. They only had one that would do like 1.3 to 170, and then like 350 to, like, I can't remember where the high end was, but it covered everywhere I needed to go.
Roger. Yeah, it's pretty easy UHF-VHF split, because, you know, all they got to do is just do a high pass on one port and a low pass on the other, and there's a pretty vast distance between the two, so those are pretty easy to do right. But clearly they're able to get wrong too, or maybe it's just bad. But I've never had any problems with any of the ones I had. When you start getting into triplexers, it gets a little bit trickier because you got, you know, a low pass, then you got a pass band, and then you got a high pass. But still, the distance between the bands is adequate that it's easy to filter. Anywho, should do you fine. I've never had any problems with any, knock on wood, over the years, so you just must have had a fluke, or maybe you had a lightning strike, or who knows. Maybe you put a little too much juice through it and poofed it. Who knows. You got a good new one on the way. Throw the other one in the trash and never look back.
Yeah, well, I was playing around with it here a little bit. I got to go back to work, but I was playing around here with it a little bit, and the Who Cares network was talking, and then I started moving it around, and it started to have a buzz in it. And I'm thinking, this is weird. And then I figured, okay, I'm going to see how much, you know, wattage is going through it. And it was virtually nothing. And then I put a dummy load on the VHF port, and it was still nothing. Then I put a dummy load on the UHF port, and it was still only a couple watts, and I'm thinking, well, so, yeah, there's something smoking inside this puppy.
So, I have a question I'm going to ask you, but anyone who is listening, if they know the answer, please chime in. Guesses not terribly helpful, but if I were to buy some consumer electronics in Canada, if I was to drive over there, buy something. Now this item is a couple $100 and it was made in the 70s. It's a Japanese manufacturer. And if I was to drive over there, buy it, come back across, I'll declare it. I'm not going to be stupid and try to sneak or say I didn't get it. But do you know if there's any
penalty, is there not penalties, but duty or anything that's got to be paid on something like that, consumer electronics from the 70s coming back in, if you go there, buy something and come back?
I have no idea. So if anybody else has an idea, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, well, that's the same answer I've been getting off. I spent all day. I went to the U.S. Customs webpage and searched every way from Sunday, and I found out more I needed to find out about all this stuff. Then there's this thing called HTS or HSP, and that gives, like, you know, and best I can tell, something like that would be free if it's Category 1, and it's, I don't know if it's 2, and it's 35% if it's, no, it's 1 regular, 1 standard, 1 custom, and 2. They don't explain what any of the columns are anywhere. So it's either free, unknown, or 35%. And it's like, I just can't get a straight answer. You know, so I call, and I get a guy, and, you know, and I ask him, I tell him specifically this, and he says, yeah, you'll just have to, he goes, you just, when you're coming across, you know, ask the border crossing agent, well, you know, we'll know. Yeah, I know he will. I'm trying to avoid that and get it in advance. He can't help you. The only way I can find that out is to go do it, come back, and then the guy at the gate will tell me, great, so if it's illegal contraband, I'll find out when I get back with it. Is that what you're saying? I know that's not the case, but that's a ridiculous answer.
Now, see, if it were me, I would go to the casino, spend a couple bucks, go get what I want, and when they ask what you were doing over here, I would say that I went to the casino and do it that way. Or a couple $100 and all the stuff that happens nowadays, I would worry about it. But I don't know, would you have to go through the Blue Water Bridge or the Windsor Tunnel?
No, it'd be something down here. Tunnel or bridge. I mean, I hate bridges. I hate tunnels. I don't know which one would be worse. Probably got to do the tunnel just because I hate bridges. I'll be less freaked out in the tunnel than the bridge. But, yeah, probably tunnel. Anywho, and, yeah, I know all the, you know, claim you had it, do this, do that, don't declare it, say you got it as a gift, wrap it up. You know, I've heard every possible way to get around it. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested if I just straight up tell the guy, I just bought this. It's a piece of electronics from the 70s, consumer electronics from the 70s. I got a good deal on it, paid $200. I just want to know if I just flat out do it up and up. I've had a couple experiences with them where I was a little less than honest, and quite frankly, I have no interest in doing that. They can make your life miserable if they want.
Yeah, that's true, especially nowadays, because they're kind of watching extra careful, so, yeah, they've got their horsepower back. I would have said, yeah, you're probably right. I might have tried it back in October, but I don't know if I would try it today. That would probably be not such a good thing. Why about just having a guy mail it to you? Then you'd be covered. Because, you know, you look at eBay, you know, like when I'm looking at a lot of the radio toys and all the other new stuff that I want, you know, Canadian, you know, $209 U.S., you know, whatever. What about just having to mail it? And that way it's covered. Because, you know, we get a lot of stuff out of Canada.
Well, I have other business over there I've been wanting to do for several years. There's a place I want to go, and I even got my enhanced license just for this purpose, and I still haven't done it. So there's a place I need to go over there. So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone if I do. And second, this is one of the things where cosmetics are paramount. So I definitely want to put eyes on before forking over any money.
I got it. I'll tell you another thing that they got over there that blows ours away. Their Motrin works. They've got 400 Motrins with Flexerol in it. And that Motrin works. So I haven't been there since before COVID, but when I used to go there, I used to go to one of the little pharmacies there in Windsor and buy, you know, like a Rexall or something, which is the equivalent of CVS, and buy a couple of bottles of Motrin and bring them back because their Motrin works really well. I mean, I got to say that. It's not addictive or anything else like that, but it's double the strength of ours, and it's got a muscle relaxer in it.
Yeah, and that would fall under that, you know, and do you got to declare that? What's the deal? I know there's, you know, a certain amount you can bring if you're staying. There's a lot of things change if you're staying 48 hours. You know, if you're staying overnight or 48 hours or something like that, then there's a lot more you can do. But if you're just running over, running back, then, I don't know. It's just too complicated. Free trade my ass.
So take Andrea to Windsor at the casino and stay there a couple days. Watch a show or something. We have mini vacation.
I can think of almost nothing I want to do than go to a casino. I just buy the whole concept. So I don't care if they give you free food and I can get a hooker, a nice one, for free. See how that's important to me? Anyhow, no interest in going to a casino, period, ever.
Drive a little farther and take her to Niagara Falls. That's pretty. We did that, and we had no problems either way.
All seems like a whole lot of rigmarole just to go buy a $200 piece of equipment.
It is. But you also got to live a little, vacation, you know, watch all that waterfall or what have you, whatever it does. So, but yeah, like I said, we did that back September, October. We enjoyed it. We had a good time. But it is a lot of rigmarole for, I imagine you're looking at some sort of vintage type stereo equipment. So that is quite a bit of hassle.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll do a little bit more research. I mean, this has got to happen often enough to where somebody ought to say, yeah, I just haven't found the right forum or something. But I think I'm, after spending quite a bit of time researching this, I think it's free. You know, there's no duty to pay on it, and we don't collect tax on that stuff. I don't go in that way. They got to pay tax, whether they pay duty or not. But I think there's no duty on it. Just I'll declare it. You know, I'm pretty sure. There's this weird column two that says 35%, and I can't quite figure out what the hell that column means. And the whole chart is suspect, but pretty sure. That's what I found out. Anywho, I'm about confident enough to just go do it. I've got, I'll go over there. I'll take in my little restaurant I've been dying to go to for the last 2, 3, 4 years. And then before or after, I'll meet up with the guy, eyeball the tuner, and if I want it, pay the man and come home.
Yeah, if anything, that means that you lied to the timestamp. You know, so if they know you went in there at noon and left at 3 o'clock, they know you went in there, got something, and came back. So I think that would be the only red flag that, you know, they know, because they scan your plate coming in, and I imagine they share the data across the bridge. So they scan your data coming back the other way. So they go, oh, look, Mr. Sean was only here for 3 hours. So I guess that might be the flag. So I can see that point. You know, if that's what they watch, then yeah, then they know you went in there, grabbed something, came back. You just didn't go there for 3 hours to grab a hamburger and come back.
Of
quite honestly, that's exactly what I was going to do for the last several years. I got the enhanced license, just so I could go over there and have dinner at this restaurant over there. It's literally called Ukrainian Restaurant. And, well, that guy didn't have his blinker on, so he's got a problem with me turning right. Well, he's into the street, he was trying to turn left on. He needs to learn what his turn signals are. Because every indication was he was coming straight. Anyhow, I got the enhanced license just so I can go there, go to the Ukrainian restaurant, have dinner, and come home. I had no other reason for getting my enhanced license. So up till this, I had no other reason, and I had no reason to be there more than a few hours. So I would say that that was secondary. I don't know. But I am almost home. Food for thought. I just thought maybe somebody had some experience with that. Us all being in a border town.
That is true. Very good. All right. Sounds like maybe a conversation for the morning drive. Starts at 7 a.m. Same bat channel, bat time, every day, Monday through Friday. So I'll have to bring that up. Maybe somebody there would know.
Where do all the Canadians hang out? On the GM?
Yeah, you know, I'm home. I got lots of repeaters in Windsor, so I'll get some of their repeaters.
I'm home. Catch you later. WNFU.
Sharon, I don't know if I missed you, but I do have some information that might help.
Are you going to be in here for a couple of minutes so I can get in the door? I'll get on the radio from inside.
I can do that. KGAWU.
I mean, I don't want to hold you. If you can't, I'll hang here. It doesn't matter. If you've got the time, then give me a couple of minutes. Otherwise, shoot.
I have the time. No worries. Take your time.
All right. Thank you, sir. I will be back in a few minutes. W8FU. Okay, I'm back. WUO, go. You still there?
Yes, sir. This is KEAWUO. What I did is I looked up your QRZ and I sent the information I had to your email, but I can summarize it for you if you want, or if that email is no longer good, whatever works best for you.
Well, I'm sure by now there's at least a couple of people are curious themselves, so why don't you go ahead and give us the summary, and I do appreciate the link. I will start looking that up now, but go ahead and give us the grand summary.
So the long and short is it kind of depends if you're going to be in Canada less than 24 hours, then for whatever reason they expect you to pay a duty on things that you purchase. But if you're in Canada for longer than 24 hours, then there's an exemption that you can claim as long as you report that you have an item. And the exemption actually is exactly $200. So if you're in Canada for 24 hours, you won't have to pay a duty. If you're in less than 24 hours, you might, but it's usually like a 1 to 2%. So they suggest that you declare your purchase either way. They suggest that you have proof of purchase. So if you can get a receipt from this person, and especially with the dollar amount on it, so that, you know, it kind of works with the, you know, maybe a signature if you can manage that. And then I think they can either calculate the duty, or I can do a little bit more research real quick and try to figure out what the duty would be. I'm going to buy myself a new. And they say the bottom line is if you're in Canada at least 24 hours and the purchase is $200, it should fall under the $200 personal exemption. You won't have to pay a duty. If you are in Canada less than 24 hours, you normally won't have to pay a personal exemption, which means customs may charge duty on the $200. Either way, declare the item to avoid issues and keep your receipt. And then they say, like, if you make frequent trips and you do this a lot, then you might not qualify for the exemption, but it doesn't sound like that applies to you. So let me look real quick to see what the duty would be.
All right. Now I can't remember what my QRZ email address is. Ha! Is it my current call at Yahoo or something else?
It is your current call sign, W8FU at Yahoo.
Well, I'll be damned. I didn't know I even had that. All right, because I'm at my old one, WX8L, and I got a lot of stuff in here. Oops.
So for a $200 purchase in Canada, it looks like the duty would typically range from 0% to 5%. So I believe that breaks down to like a $10, $20 charge. So I would bring, you know, $300 in, I think you'd be well covered for any kind of duty to expect. So.
All right, I'll have to take a look at that information. So, okay, very good. I mean, in worst case scenario, that's not bad.
Yep, not too bad at all. It looks like more than likely they may just waive it and not charge you a duty. It seems like they are mainly after the higher dollar value things. But you know, it looks like the duty would be from 0% to 5%. So worst case scenario is 5% of $200, and that's pretty manageable, I think. So. All right, well, I will let you go. It's KVA-WUO. You have a good rest of your day.
Okay, very good. I'm just, here we go. I've got your email right here. So, cool. I'll look that over. Thank you. John, right?
That's affirmative. Nice talking to you again.
All right, thank you. Catch you later. All right, I just walked in, so I'm going to get to reading and looking and all that other good stuff, bobbing and a-weaving. W8FU.
Delta Zulu. KC8 Delta Zulu monitoring.
John. Are you listening to this?
W8FU.
I caught Casey at KJO, and then I didn't catch what. You said something there. What's up, Tom?
Oh, I said Casey at KJO with popcorn, because I'm going to Mill River here.
Gotcha. Just bopped out here. Better put my seatbelt on, run up to Kroger's. Mama's out of Wonder Bread, and I normally never eat that, but I've actually made a couple of sandwiches with it for the first time in a very, very long time. I like it for grilled cheese, but I prefer a more crusty kind of nice bread, but that's one place where, you know, certainly a classic Wonder Bread grilled cheese and tomato soup.
WFSM hologram line.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Alright. I thought I heard it. Getting back into the truck.
Yeah, sorry. I was balancing a couple of radios here. I'm trying to back monitor myself and realizing how bad I sound. Sorry.
Well, as long as you don't start saying wall-to-wall treetop at all, you're fine.
Ooh, that bad, huh? No, I won't do that.
Well, I'm leaving the office, headed towards the house.
Woohoo!
14-hour day.
Well, I was going to comment, but I thought that was an awfully long day for you.
Yeah, I got up with Michelle at 7, and I clocked in about 7:30 this morning, so... Oh. I think she texted me too.
Yeah, I was doing some work tonight, but not quite the same as being at the office. Yesterday was a late night at the office, but not so bad today.
Well, I got a retirement party tomorrow, and I got to go probably to Oxford, and I got to be in Oxford on Friday. So I was like, you know what, I'll just run down here tonight and get the stuff I needed done here done tonight. Michelle was at work.
Very good. Yeah, I got to figure something out with this radio. It is the audio really obnoxious, or is it kind of okay?
I'm not the best judge right now because I'm on the HHC, but it sounds fine to me. But then again, I'm mobile and I'm on my handheld control head mic.
Okay. Yeah, it's an old mode radio, which is a handheld, but it's got like a mic gain control and a compressor and just a tone control in the back. I think I got it set okay, but. No, I guess it could be worse.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no, with the audio coming through the handheld control mic, it's not what I would call, you know, an audiophile setup like Sean.
My back. I turn the antenna off. I forgot the antenna switch for the other radio affects this radio, sorry. What I said was I was going to be back in a few minutes if you're still around. But I transmitted into no antenna. Whoops. KBB.
Yeah, it should be coming through sentence.
Thank you.
5 or something similar, which has as its output a bipolar transistor, a normal NPN transistor. The trouble of that is that even when it's saturated on, the collector to emitter voltage drop through a bipolar transistor will never go lower than about 0.7 volts to ground. That is, you don't really have a hard ground like you would with a metallic relay. Anyway, I mentioned this to Chris, the New Zealander, and he came up with a drop-in replacement for the standard auto-isolator using a bipolar transistor that instead uses a MOSFET, and that makes a huge difference because MOSFETs do not have a fixed voltage drop to ground like a bipolar junction. When it's turned on, you get maybe 50 or 100 ohms of resistance, but no arbitrary voltage drop across it, which means that for radios that have fussy push-to-talk circuits, it can pull it closer to ground.
Any of you?